It's because you're sick. No, it's not true. But, yeah, so I'll finish that message next week. And what happened was, I'm kind of like most of you right now. This has been kind of a completely whacked out year, and this summer has been insane for me. I don't know if you kind of get the same feel of almost, it's not panic, it's just so much, so fast, so it's just like getting crazy for me. Some of you may know a couple weeks ago we had an opportunity to go on a vacation. Somebody invited us out west, and we went out west for a vacation. We had that planned for a long time. A few months before that, a lady who we have rented a house from in South Carolina for vacation called us. And it's a long story, but we rented a house from her one time, the last time we rented it, and it got infested all of a sudden, I mean literally overnight, with flying termites. And if you'd have seen Becky's face when she opened the bedroom, and I'm not exaggerating when I say thousands and thousands on the bed, on the floor, on the walls, the whole room was moving. And Becky, for some reason, didn't want to sleep there. And we all panicked, like, oh my goodness. Anyway, long story short, they moved us to another house and everything went fine. But this lady decided that she called us and said, hey, she has an open date, and if you'd like to use the house again, we'd give it to you for less than half price. And so we booked that. That was several months ago. So we had a vacation in July, and now we had a vacation in August. And, you know, you got to get ramped up for that kind of stuff. And then, of course, COVID hit. And all that stuff went crazy, and I'm trying to figure out how you visit senior citizens in a nursing home, in the hospital, and shut-ins when you can't visit nursing homes, hospitals, or shut-ins. And so I've done a lot of phone calling, and I've actually stood outside of windows at nursing homes and talked to the person on the phone in the room. And so just really, really strange. Then we had Spencer come, and Spencer's wonderful. I love Spencer. But every week, one of the pastors have him. I have him this week. And basically, what we do, he does. We train him how to do that, which has added another layer of stuff. And then in the middle of the vacation over here and the vacation over here, we had a wonderful opportunity to buy a house, which we bought a house, and now we're selling a house. And if you've ever done that, just buying a house and selling a house all by itself is enough to drive you insane. I mean, I was like, what in the world? Realtors and all the things that go on with that, that's all going well. Everything's going well. But it's just been like... Well, in the middle of this, I made a dumb decision. My dumb decision was, but every now and then, and I say every now and then like every other week, somebody will tell me something about my kids. Oh, I'm glad to see that Dean's doing this, or I heard that Carrie's doing that, or I heard that your grandchildren are doing this, and I'm always like, how do you know this about my children? Anybody know? Yeah, Facebook. I was not on Facebook, and I hear this for years now. I've been hearing everything about my kids secondhand. I'll call my son and say, did this happen to you? Yeah. Oh, that's right. You didn't know about that. No, I don't, son. And so I decided I would do a Facebook. I'm going to tell you something. I'm wow. Wow. That's way too much information for my little brain. I did that 2 weeks ago. I opened up a Facebook thing, you know, and just to make sure I could get and see my kids, what do you call it? Post, page, whatever, okay. And so I'm looking at that, and of course now I'm on it, so then people see my name on there, ask me, and next thing I know I have 450 people, friends. Some of them I don't even know. I told my Sunday school class I'm terrified to say no to somebody, you know, say, we requested you to be a friend, and I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor, and somebody says they want to be my friend. What am I supposed to say? No, delete. I can't do that. I don't know how to not do that. So some of them, I just kind of, they just hang in there for a long time. Every time I turn my phone on, there's a list of people, and I'm like, hey, I don't know. And so I found out that that thing can consume you. You know, at first I was like, okay, well, that's interesting. You know, when there's five people. When there's 25, when there's 40, when there's 450 people posting stuff, you kind of can get lost really fast. And so all this stuff has been swimming around the house, the COVID, the vacations, not to mention your normal stuff. You have a job, you have ministry. And so the other day, last week, I think it was last Thursday or last Friday, I can't remember the exact day, I was studying for the message I'm going to preach the next week, reviewing that message, and my phone started beeping, you know, what do they call it, notifications, you know, somebody's done something on Facebook. I'm like, oh, whatever. I picked it up, and I hit it real quick just to stop it, and it opened a page. And on the page, there was a verse, and this was the verse. You ready, Steve? I guess you're not ready. Did it surprise you? I caught you off guard. This is the verse. Be still and know that I am God. And a friend of mine, a young man actually who was in my youth ministry, had posted the verse when I was in Michigan City. He's a pastor. When I was in Muncie, he's a pastor now. And he had posted the verse, and underneath it, he did this. He divided it into three parts. He said, be still and know that I am God. Okay? And so when he did that, underneath those he put, don't change it yet, Steve, till I tell you to. You're getting excited? Okay. Under those he put, like, be still, stop, and sit still, and then under, and know, understand, or believe, and then I am God, I am in control. And I thought, that was excellent. And so I got looking at that, and all of a sudden it occurred to me, that's what I need to do. You ever get the moment where you just feel like everything's moving too fast and it's just overwhelming? And I was at that point last week where it was just too much for me. Everything's happening too fast. We have this, you know, app now. I don't know if you've done this, when you sell a house, they have an app, and in the app it sends requests for viewings to your phone, and you have to say yes or no, that time works for me. And last week, our first day, we had like four or five, it's like, okay, I mean, yes, no, yeah, I don't know. And we went, I think last Friday we left the house, what, at 2 o'clock? And we couldn't come back to our own house till 8 o'clock. You know, so I thought we'd buy groceries. That was a bad idea, by the way. In this heat, you'll figure it out. But so I got thinking about that, and so I thought, you know, maybe I'm not the only one. Maybe, just maybe, there's some other people in here who need to think about that verse. Meditate on that little verse. Be still and know that I am God. And so what I did, I extended everything that my youth pastor, or my teenage friend, I guess he's not a teenager anymore, he's in his 50s, but I was a youth pastor a long time ago, and I made this outline. Now, I know some of you are worried. You're saying, where's the fill-in-the-blanks? There are no fill-in-the-blanks. I have the outline completely filled in, but I'm not giving it to you till after the message. In fact, I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to set this on the table, and after the message, if you want one, you take one, okay? And then I'm no longer responsible for that. So here's what I want to do. I want to look at those, and I want to break them down for you. So be still and know I'm God. The first part, be still. I always like to pretend I'm smart. And so I looked stuff up in Hebrew and I looked stuff up in Greek. I'm not a scholar in either of those languages, never really studied them completely. But I found this to be true in most of the King James Version. When I look words up, a lot of times they mean what the translator said. I mean, almost exactly. Now, there are times it's very helpful and it may have a slight meaning, and that has to do with culture, and it sometimes has to do with how languages change over the years. And so that's true. But when I look this word up, be still, simply says the Hebrew word is raphal, which the definition means exactly what you think it means, right? To cease moving, to remain idle, to stay, to stop, or to relax. It can mean any of those things. And all the scripture saying in that little passage is stop. Just stop. It can mean this too. It can mean find some quiet place, turn off your phone. Now, by the way, when I say turn off your phone, I think you're like me. You sometimes need illustrations. This is not turning off your phone. When you turn off your phone, you do that whole turn your phone off thing, right? And you push it up and you turn the phone off. Because if you don't turn it off, if you're like me, and I'm reading something, and that starts buzzing, I feel like, for some reason, I have to pick it up. Am I the only one that feels that way? I feel like I have to pick it up. A lot of times, because I'm a counselor, I'm afraid to put this down on the pulpit, because it'll start buzzing. So, turn off your computer, turn off your phone, separate from outside influences. Find yourself a quiet place. I like this passage, Psalm 4, verses 3 and 4. David said this, know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him, stand in awe, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and what does he say again? Be still. If I had any advice for America today, I think that's a good piece of advice. Okay, everybody calm down. I'm sick of hearing, you know, the whole thing about the COVID, about the mask, racial injustice, riots. I don't want to hear Joe Biden's name again. I'm really tired of Donald Trump already, just to be honest with you. Everybody, one thing I found out on the Facebook thing, everybody's got an opinion about everything. And man, you are going to get stuff. It's just blah, 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 blah. And sometimes it's too much for me. It's like, stop. And I have to remind myself, Becky and I typically have our devotions in the morning. We'll start, we'll have breakfast, have a little prayer time just for breakfast. And then after breakfast, we typically will read our, you know, pass the scripture or read the devotional. And then we spend time to pray. And I'll be honest with you, there's sometimes I'm doing that so fast when I'm done. Becky will tell you this has happened. I'm done and we're getting ready to leave. And I'll say, "Did we prayed, right? Can I tell you something? There wasn't really much to that if I can't remember 20 minutes later that I did it. I think sometimes we just need to be still. But it means more than that. Not only be still, but stop talking, stop texting, stop posting, stop watching media. I was giving Pastor a hard time today. We were sitting out here, and I told him, he was looking at his phone, going through the news feeds and saying, "Boy, I tell you, I read too much news. It's bothering me." And I said, "You know I'm preaching about you tonight, right?" Because it was funny because he was saying the same thing I was saying. You know, seeing all this sometimes really irritates me. You know, we don't do this is what we should be meditating. This is what we should be feeding on. You wonder why you're frustrated. You wonder why things are so hectic in your life. It's sometimes because you don't stop. I know you've all got stuff going on. I was thinking about you last night, Erica, with the building opening and all that. I was like, boy, oh boy, I bet it's fun over at their house. Because it's a lot of stuff, right? And everybody's like that. We've all got something, right? Right? You guys are trying to clean out a house that I'm trying to buy. Isn't that fun?
No.
Becky's trying to buy. You should see our garage. I don't think I'm exaggerating, 50 or more? Okay. 50 or more boxes already packed. And we still have stuff in the house that doesn't look like we've unpacked. I mean, it's just so much stuff. In every cabinet, there's something, and everything's got to go. And it says, stop. Everybody calm down. And that's all the verse is saying. Be still. Okay. I like this. Samuel said this twice. Once he said it to Saul, and once he said it to the Israelites. He said this. Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us," and he passed on. Now listen to what he said to Saul. "But you stand still a while." Why did he tell him that? Well, he tells him why he's telling that. Why should he stand still? "That I may show thee the word of God." Let's be honest. Don't raise your hand. This is not time to confess. But you have a problem with that on Sunday morning? Your mind's going so far, so fast, what you're going to do when you get out of church, where you're going to eat, what's going to happen, da, da, da. You're not really still. You may be sitting in one spot, but that does not necessarily mean you're still. You notice this, he said it again to the children of Israel. Samuel said to the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron and brought your fathers out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still again. Why? That I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, what he did to you and to your fathers. Sometimes we don't stand still long enough to remember what God's been doing in our life. We sing count your blessings, but we don't count them. Right? We say that all the time. Oh, count your blessings. Isn't God good? Blah, blah, blah. And then off we go 900 miles an hour to the next thing. No, we need to find some quiet place, turn off a phone, turn off our computer, stop texting, stop talking, stop posting, stop watching media, and stand still. By the way, in this, I think this is also included. Stop worrying. I don't know how effective, by the way, your devotion is going to be when you're worrying about the future. When your mind's on something else. Calm your mind. Stand still. Stop worrying. Stop arguing. Now, you won't admit this, but I guarantee you do it because I know I do it. Sometimes I argue with the truth of God's word. Yeah, I know God's good, but boy, it doesn't seem like good's right now. Well, I know God's in control, but it sure didn't look like he was in control when Indianapolis was burning downtown, did it? No, God's still in control. Quit arguing. Stop questioning. Stop complaining. And really important for Christians, stop demanding. Stop telling God what he's got to do. See, I think when you talk about this concept of be still, I think all of that's included. I think all of those concepts are there. Look at the verse here. You know Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Be careful, the word literally translated, be full of care. Don't be full of care. Be full of care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And if you do that, if you stand still long enough to do that, what happens? You're not guessing, it's right here, it's on the screen. What happens? Then you can find peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Some of you have seen that in other people's lives. They're going through trial. They're going through tragedy. They're going through a sickness. They're going through cancer. And you say, man, how can they be so calm about it? I can tell you how. Because they're going to God. They're putting it to God. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth upon you, for He cares for you. That's exactly what you're doing. And when we say this little verse, be still and know that I am God, I think sometimes we forget. We say, but still know I'm God. Now, here's the next thing I need to do. No, no, no. That's not what it means. It means stop for a minute. Everybody calm down. Catch your breath and be still, right? Be still. And I think it means a little more than that. I think it also means calm your mind, set your work aside. You ever think about your work while you're doing your devotions? No, you don't do that. Concentrate only on God's word, God and His word, and listen for His voice. See, I think communication is supposed to be happening here. I'm praying, and He's trying to communicate back to me through the Word of God and through the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm too busy sometimes to listen. I find myself, I try to do right a lot of mornings. We'll have our prayer time or devotion, that sort of thing. And then I kind of force myself now. I've been doing this for years. I'm on my way to work. I drive about 15 to 25 minutes to work. It's according to what day it is and what traffic is. So sometimes 15 minutes, sometimes 25 minutes. It's going to be less in the future. And so I promise myself I won't turn the radio on in the morning. That's a prayer time. And so while I'm driving, I don't worry. I don't close my eyes. But I'll pray, and I'll get on a prayer thing, and I'll be praying about someone or about a situation or about the church or something like that, and then something enters my mind that, oh, when I get to work, and the next few minutes I'm not praying anymore. You know what I'm doing? I'm thinking about what I got to do when I get to work. I think we all have that problem. And when David said be still, he's saying set those things aside, concentrate only on God and only on His word, and listen for His voice. I think you remember the story, right? Elijah, when he's threatened by Jezebel. I almost said Delilah. I was like, that's not right. It's not Delilah. When he's threatened by Jezebel, remember, he's waiting to hear from God, and he said, God said, go forth, stand upon the mount of the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break the rocks in pieces. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, after the fire, a still, small voice. Can I tell you something? All of the important decisions, whether it's salvation, whether it was surrendering to the ministry, were made for me hearing a still, small voice. God spoke to my heart. I remember sitting in 1973, I remember sitting in a pew in a Baptist church for the first time and heard the clear presentation of the gospel. And there wasn't any loud trumpets. I was sitting perfectly still. My mind was focused only on what that man was saying. And that pastor said, you know, you don't have to die and go to hell. You can go to heaven. And a still small voice said to me, you need to find out how that happens. And I got out of that pew and I walked down that aisle. It wasn't more than a year later, I was in a car with a youth pastor, and he was talking about lost and dying people, and we need more people to reach the world, and we need young people to get out we need young men to be pastors. And I'm praying that God will call every one of you young men to be pastors. And the moment he said that, it wasn't his voice that hit me. On the inside, I knew. Somebody asked me a while back, how do you know you're called to preach? For me, it was exactly the same feeling, exactly the same unction, it was exactly the same moving of the Holy Spirit as when I was saved. If you know what it feels like to be, know that you need to be saved, and whether you did that at home or whether you did that in church, it's the exact same unction. I knew that's what God wants. And every time God spoke to me in a great way, it's always been in that still, small voice. And I think sometimes we forget to listen. Jesus said this, my sheep, I don't know if you've thought about this before, my sheep hear my voice. Right? My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. You may not be following Him, you know why? You may not be in God's plan for your life, you know why? You're not listening. You're not still enough to listen. All I really want to do tonight is give you an opportunity to do exactly that. Be still. Think about what God's saying. Think about your own devotional life. Think about your own prayer time. Think about how you make decisions. Are you making it? I'm a decision maker. Becky and I work perfectly together because she hates decisions and I love them. In fact, if you say to me, what do you want to do, and you don't have an idea, I'll come up with one. I'll tell you what we're going to do. And sometimes that plays bad against me because I make decisions really fast. And sometimes I need to be still and wait for the leading of God. So be still and know. There you go. Be still and know that I am God. So what do we need to do? What's the first thing you need to do? Be still. And now what? And know. There you go. Again, I looked this up. Isn't this amazing? I tell you what, you really need to be a Hebrew scholar. It really would be helpful, and I'm not mocking it, but know the Hebrew word yada, which definition means, I think you probably already know what the definition is, right? Anybody surprised by this definition? It means to understand, to perceive, to acknowledge, to consider, and declare. Okay? So we need to be still. We need to concentrate on what God's trying to tell us. Separate from all the world. Stop listening to the media for a moment. Listen for God's voice. And when you hear it, there we go. So the way you do that, how you get that? How am I going to know it? Well, I'm going to read God's word. I'm going to remember God's word. And I'm going to meditate on God's word. I'm going to think. Now, next slide real quick. So how many times, I didn't list all of them. Obviously, we would have been here all night if I listed all the times the Bible talks about meditating. Meditate on his work, meditate on his precepts, meditate on his statutes, and meditate in thy word. Meditate simply means exactly what you think it would mean to muse, to ponder. I like the word ponder. I don't know why. Isn't that a great word? I'll ponder that. It just seems like something we don't ponder anymore. Have you guys noticed that? When's the last time you sat down and really pondered, considered, thought about, or do you just like me, somebody says something about wearing a mask, and blah, 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 words just come out of your mouth. You didn't think about it. You didn't consider it. Just whatever came out. To muse, to ponder, to consider, to study, to think about, to chew on, to ruminate, if you want to have another word. To let it run through your mind. When you read the word and think about what it's saying. I'm just as guilty as everybody in here. I sometimes read our devotion in the morning, and it starts with a passage of Scripture, and I read the passage of Scripture to get to the devotional. Because it's there. I shouldn't have said read it, so I read it. I didn't get anything out of that passage. I just read it because it was there, right? I hope you understand, you're not getting a whole lot out of God's Word if you're reading your Bible through in a year and the day is three chapters and you read three chapters so you can read three chapters. Come on. I think it's wonderful you can read your Bible through in a year, but I hope you got something out of it. I hope you're thinking about what the Bible's saying. Several years ago, I preached down at IBC and Dr. Loader I think it might have been Reed or Loader. I forget which one of them introduced me. And I didn't know what they were going to say because I didn't think they knew me very well. And I'm like, you know, how do you introduce Morris Hunsaker? Here's Morris. Usually the best way to do is say, here's Brother Morris. He's going to preach. And then go sit down. I don't need a whole bunch of stuff. But he said something. And at first I thought, that's good, right? He said, here's Brother Morris. He's not the deepest theologian I've ever heard. Because he'd been dealing with you, probably, Pastor Monty. But there's the deepest theologian. And I was kind of like, okay. He said, but let me tell you something. Start taking notes because he's a practical theologian. He'll teach you practically the truths of the word. And I was like, well, I'll take that. That's good. And that's what I usually, I think what we're supposed to do when we read the word of God is to put it into practice in our life. I think it's a practical book. And I think it's supposed to be that way. I think when I read the Bible and it says that I'm supposed to be long-suffering, then I should think about being long-suffering, and the next time somebody really frustrates me, I should not respond quickly and harshly. I should catch my breath and try to explain it again and be long-suffering. Right? I think that's the way and I think we forget that sometimes. So when you read it, are you really meditating on it? Next slide. So read my word, remember my word, meditate on my word, don't doubt it, have faith, trust me, God said, believe me. Don't just, I tell you, you really think about what we say, how we live sometimes. We read God's word, we read a truth in God's word, and we say, for instance, we say God is good. I mentioned this last week. We say God is good. And then we argue whether or not God is good. No, God is good. In fact, look at the next thing. God's way, the Bible says, 2 Samuel 22, as for God, his way is what? Do you want me to look that up in Hebrew for you guys? Or you want you? I think you pretty much got it, right? God's way is perfect. If God is working in your life, he's working. I said it doesn't seem perfect, doesn't look perfect. Who are you to argue with God? His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. They've been trying to get rid of this book for a long, long time, and they're not going to get rid of it because this is God's word. It is the truth, amen? You can change, you can do all you want to, but the truth is the truth, and the truth will always, you cannot destroy the truth. His word is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. By the way, if you're not trusting in him, he's not that shield, that buckler that you need. If you're not trusting him, you know who you're trusting in? Either yourself or somebody else. And I can tell you something, if that's where you're trusting, you're already in trouble. He's a buckler to all them that trust in him, for God, who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and my power, and he maketh, if his way is perfect, now think about this for a second, if his way is perfect, and I am following him, doesn't the last part of the verse make sense? If his way is perfect, and I'm walking in that way, what does that say about my way? Then my way will be perfect. I didn't say perfect like you want it. It'll be perfect like he wants it. Remember, God's purpose is not to make you happy. God's purpose is to make you holy, to be conformed to the image of his son. Pastor preached about that, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. To be conformed to the image of his son. That's what you're predestined after you're saved to do. God's purpose in your life is to make you more like Christ. And sometimes that may include suffering. So I don't like that. I didn't ask you if you liked it. My kids didn't like it when I punished them when they did wrong. But it was for their good, amen? They finally are old enough now. I hope they're old enough now. They figured it out that Dad loved me, and that's why he kept us from doing the things that we did. And yet we know that as a truth, as a parent, and sometimes we forget it as a child of God. His way is perfect. So be still and know. There's some things you should know. If you're still, by the way, you're more likely to know him. If you stand still for a minute and you listen and you start paying attention, you shut out all that the other world and you shut out the influences of the world and you start paying attention to what God is saying, there's some things you'll know. But what will you know? Well, the verse tells you. If you're still and you know, what are you going to know? You'll know that I am God. The Hebrew word there is Elohim. You've all heard that before. Most of you have. It's simple definition. I am God, the living and mighty God. He is who he says he is. Now, this next section, I could go on forever. I'm not going to because I'll run out of time. But I want you to get it. When he says I am God, he's saying I am present. He is omnipotent, omnipresent, right? He is here all the time. In your good times, he is there. In your bad times, he is there. In your sad times, he is there. In your depressed times, he is there. When things seem like to be going wrong, he is there. When the checkbook's full, he's there. When the checkbook's empty, he's there. He's present. Do you know that? Is he God or is he not God? He's God. He is present. I am your father. He loved. That sounded like Star Wars. Go back. I am your father. He is your heavenly father. Does your father love you? Will your heavenly father do right by his children? Oh, come on. Will your heavenly father do right by his children? Do you not know that? Yes, you know that. I am not only present, I'm not only your father, but I am almighty. There's nothing that can stop me, nothing that is bigger than me, nothing that is more powerful than me. It doesn't matter who riots where. It doesn't matter if the government goes to pieces. It doesn't matter if Joe Biden gets elected. Boy, I'm preaching myself now. It doesn't matter, right? God is almighty, and he can overrule every bit of that. True? Okay, so I am almighty, and I am in control. Now, you may look at the world and say, it can't be true. Oh, yeah, it's true. He's in control. God knows what he's doing. Okay, so I am God, the Lord God, the Lord of hosts. David said this, the Lord of hosts is with us. And then Paul said this, why should we say into these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, think about that. Isn't that a tremendous statement? If God's for me and God is with me and God is for me, and God is with me, what am I worried about? What am I distraught about? What am I so upset about? Well, Brother Morris, you don't know my circumstances. I don't have to know your circumstances. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, your Heavenly Father is working for your good. End of story. You say, I don't know if I believe that. Then you don't believe this. You're denying this if you say that. Now, if you deny the Scripture, I've told more than one person in counseling, you'd start denying the Bible, I can't help you. I can't help you because this is the only truth I know. This is the only place I can go to get absolute truth. And if you're going to deny absolute truth, then you are already in trouble because nothing else can help. So, if God's for us, who can be against us? So He's present, He's our Father, He's Almighty, He's in control. Not only that, does He love you? Well, of course He loves you. Why? Don't go there yet. 1 John 1:9, what does it say? It's a really easy one. Does He love you? How do you know? God is love. 1 John 9:9. God is love, right? Not only is He love, is He good? He's absolutely good. Is He merciful? Now, I could have put, does He show grace and all, but for me, I always go back to the mercy thing. Because me, that's the amazing thing to me. I'd be frank with you, I don't know why God didn't kill me. I know how I've lived my life. I know the things that have run through this brain. I know the things that these hands have done. I know the things that have come out of this mouth. And if I was God, I'd have done away with me already. I'm thankful that He's merciful. Amen? And when I say, be still and know that He's God, that He is love, that He is good, that He is merciful. God is love, 1 John 1:9. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord. By the way, don't people try to get me to say, well, I know in that situation God wasn't good to you. Nope, not going to say it. Because absolute truth tells me the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Several years ago, a man in our church, at Eagledale Baptist Church when I was there, was dying of cancer. And, you know, you have those moments where you talk, you know, it's almost over. And his name was Earl. And I bent over Earl's bed that night, and I remember saying to Earl, I read that verse to him. I said, Earl, Psalm 105 says this, The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I said, Earl, you believe that? And he said, I absolutely believe it, and nothing can happen from here on out to make me doubt it, because I'll soon see Him, and I'm going to praise Him, because His truth will be everlasting to me. And I know that my kids, and this time he was talking about his own kids and his own grandchildren, he said, I know my kids have accepted Christ, I know my grandkids have accepted Christ, and I know that it's going to continue to the generations to follow. You see, that's when glorifying God matters. Anybody can glorify God when everything's going your way and everything's wonderful and everything's, you know, smooth. It's when trial comes and tragedy comes and heartache comes and pain comes and you still glorify God. Wow, that's a testimony that sticks in the hearts and minds of men. And that's a testimony that changes lives. Amen? So it not only means that. It continues to go on and say, and we could go on, like I said, I can make this list as long as you want me to make it. I'm your rock. I'm your fortress. I'm your strength. I'm your hiding place. I'm your deliverer. I'm your hope. I'm your trust. I thought this one was especially good in the situation we're in the world today. I'm your refuge. I don't need to dig a bunker and fill it with food and guns. I got a refuge, thank you. I got a rock. I got a high tower. I got a pavilion. And I'm running to that. And that's what's going to keep me safe. Psalm 31:3, Thou art my rock and my fortress. Thou art my strength. Thou art my hiding place. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Thou art my hope. O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. Is that your testimony? You know the life of David. You know the things he went through. You know the trials he had, not only with his children, but with his kingdom. And that's who wrote that. That's who God used to write that. That's how he looked at God. Is that how you look at God? Next slide says this. The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, and not just any refuge, but when is he going to be, when is especially is God your refuge? Hint. In times of trouble. And if times are troubled, that's where we should be going. Not to Facebook. Not to the news. Please don't go to the news. You're not going to hear any good stuff there. I don't care what channel you're looking at. It's just not any good. Okay? So, I'm your strength, I'm your hiding place, I'm deliver, I'm your refuge. By the way, you know this next one, right? I am your shepherd, which means I will lead you, I will feed you, I'll protect you, I'll restore you. You know Psalm 23 is still in the Bible? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Read it with me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my... How many of you think sometimes you need your soul restored? Right? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Say it. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. By the way, let me look at that. Look at that next to the last line. Tell me if it's not true today. I don't care what the situation is. Tell me if that's not true today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the, not some of your life, how long? If that's your shepherd, that's what you're depending on. You see how easy we forget? You read a verse like, but be still and know that I am God, and you go, yeah, I need to do that. Yeah, and you're not going to do it because you haven't even thought about what that verse means. You haven't even thought about what it's saying. Be still and know that I am God. Next slide. It's a simple verse, isn't it? Be still and know that I am God. A simple truth that unfortunately we just sometimes forget. I said last week when I preached, I said, I don't think I say a whole lot of things that you don't know. And I know that's true in my preaching. Some of you probably think I'm probably the simplest preacher ever came up. But sometimes I think we just be reminded of the truths that we do know. Sometimes we need to stop and consider those truths again. You know why you're worried, and you know why you're scared, and you know why you're depressed? Because you haven't been still long enough to know the truth, to meditate on the truth. Because if you did, you know he's God. And you know he's in control, and you know he's your shepherd, and you know he's your hiding place. And all those truths that we already knew. Anybody didn't know that here? You all knew that. What happens? We get so busy and so caught up in this crazy world that we let it take our peace from us. Jesus said, my peace I leave unto you. I don't know if you understand what that kind of peace is like, but that's what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to be confused and frustrated. Last week that happened to me. I got so frustrated. I was really worried. I told, relax, Pastor. This was last week. I told Becky, I said, you know, I'm 65. I'll be 65 next year. I'll just retire. I mean, we can pull this off. I can do this.
No.
Thank you, Pastor. But, you know, I mean, I can get that frustrated. You can too, right? Just give it up. Let's just quit. Just forget it. Too much. When that happens, I want you to think about this simple little verse. Be still and know that I am God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll do a work in our hearts tonight. I know life is busy, and especially in the United States, everything seems to be flying at us. So much information, so much disinformation, so many things to do, so many things we can do, so many distractions, so many types of entertainment. Lord, it's about time that we as Christians just stop for a minute. Started meditating on your word and remember that you are God, that you love us, that you want the best for us, you want to do good to us. And Lord, if we'll follow your way, our way will also be perfect. Help us, Lord, to relax, to trust, to cast all our care upon you. We ask it in Jesus' name.